Developing news tonight, a dramatic turn of events as Congress strikes a deal to end the government shutdown. The fate of all those dreamers still hanging in the balance. So what now, and what does the president want? NBC News exclusive access. Lester Holt is inside North Korea. What he just learned from senior North Korean officials about their nuclear program. A frantic search for the missing tonight as a fiery explosion tears through a drilling rig in Oklahoma. Fears of this growing flu epidemic. Why are seemingly healthy children dying within just 3 days of the first symptoms? How your own body could work against you. Heads roll as the scandal-rocking USA Gymnastics takes down its top leaders. And no checkout lines, no cash registers. Just grab your groceries and go. Is this the supermarket of the future?
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Savannah Guthrie in for Lester. It is over for now. Congress has come to an agreement to reopen the government, but for just under 3 weeks, and with the sticking point that got them to the stalemate in the first place, the fate of those young immigrants known as dreamers still unresolved. So what changed, and how do we know we won't end up right back here? NBC's Capitol Hill correspondent Casey Hunt starts us off tonight. Casey, good evening.
Savannah, good evening to you. The House voting to make it official tonight to reopen the government, at least for now, sending the bill to the president's desk. But that all sets up an incredibly contentious debate over immigration that could have us right back where we started in less than 3 weeks.
The U.S. government tonight opening for business.
The yeas are 81, the nays are 18.
Senate Democrats taking the deal after a three-day shutdown over protecting the so-called dreamers.
It is a good solution, and I will vote for it.
The government will now stay open for 3 more weeks. The Children's Health Insurance Program fully funded for 6 more years after Republican leader Mitch McConnell made a public pledge.
This immigration debate will have a level playing field at the outset.
The only real change from Sunday, Democrats decided to trust McConnell after a day filled with anxious questions. Federal workers showing up to their offices uncertain about what the morning would hold.
Got a mortgage. I feel like I want to go to work.
Please get it together, everybody, because I don't have 2 jobs like some people do. I have 1 job.
National parks like the Statue of Liberty shuttered over the weekend. States forced to foot the bill so they could open today. The day's dramatic turn of events playing out in the halls on Capitol Hill.
Are you considering changing your vote?
We're going to hear where we are. I don't know what's been agreed to.
A bipartisan group of senators huddling in Susan Collins' office through the morning. Pessimistic at first.
Senator, what do you think? Can you get this done today?
I don't know.
As the hours wore on.
It's about almost 11 a.m. Do you think right now at this hour the government will reopen by the end of the day?
I hope so. And if it doesn't, I just don't know where we go from here because we're so, so very close.
About 90 minutes later, it was done. The only difference?
Leader McConnell made a clear public commitment on the floor of the Senate. We're not going to be able to move forward if we don't trust each other.
The government reopening, but just for 3 more weeks, when this fight will play out all over again. Casey Hunt, NBC News, the Capitol.
This is Kristen Welker. Tonight, the uncertainty for dreamers has only deepened.
No, we're not pieces on a chessboard. We're human beings.
Isaias Guerrero is one of nearly 700,000 dreamers, undocumented immigrants brought to the U.S. illegally as children. The bill passed today doesn't directly address the issue of DACA, the program that protects them. Guerrero says both parties have failed him.
We are really disappointed, one, to Republicans because they keep playing games. They keep trying to pass some sort of anti-immigrant policies against not only undocumented students, youth, but families. And second to Democrats, that they couldn't hold the line, that they couldn't say, we want this now.
A federal judge has ordered the administration to keep DACA going, even though the White House wants to shut it down in early March. And if it ends, the dreamers, some who have been here for decades, may be deported. Under today's deal, Republicans are pledging that they'll allow a vote on the issue next month if it's not resolved by then. Today, President Trump hosted key Democrat and Republican lawmakers at the White House to start negotiations. But with a lack of trust on both sides.
Negotiating with President Trump is like negotiating with Jell-O.
I wouldn't say it's the highest level of trust.
Immigration deal will be among the largest legislative challenges. The president has said dreamers have nothing to worry about.
Is that still the case?
I think we've been pretty clear that we want to find a solution on the DACA program.
If DACA ultimately gets rescinded, it will be hard for President Trump to escape the blame, since he's also said supportive things about it. But the White House says the president is just trying to end a program that former President Obama had no authority to start in the first place. Savannah.
Kristen Walker, thank you. And this brings us to Chuck Todd, moderator of Meet the Press. So, Chuck, back to this shutdown. I mean, what happened here? Right. Did the Democrats lose their nerve? And has anything really fundamental changed in terms of where the fights are, where the battle lines are?
No, I don't think anything has changed. I would, to put it in football terms, Savannah, I would say this is a false start by the Democrats. The tactic might be an effective tactic, but the timing was poor. They didn't have the leverage right now. There was no sense of urgency, and the Democrats had no explanation as to why have this fight now instead of in 4 weeks. You can make a case in 4 weeks for them to draw these lines in the sand. But the Republican line was simply, we need more time to negotiate. And as far as the public was hearing, they're sitting there, what's wrong with that? That doesn't seem very unreasonable. But I do think this, Savannah, we are going to go right back to where we were over the weekend in about 3 weeks. I think we're still a long way away. And if anything, President Trump has to feel good about one thing. The Democrats showed their cards. At a minimum, he already knows he's going to get his wall from Democrats if he gives them DACA, and that in itself is already a small victory for this White House.
We may be having this very conversation in a few weeks. Chuck, thank you. And now to our NBC News exclusive inside North Korea. Lester Holt has gotten extraordinary, rare access at a time of global anxiety over the North's nuclear program. But the question tonight, what are the chances for new nuclear talks after surprise news that North and South Korea plan to compete together in the upcoming Winter Olympics? We get more now from Lester in North Korea's capital, Pyongyang. Lester, good evening.
Savannah, good evening. Even as North Korea celebrates its new sense of cooperation with the South, it's making it clear the nuclear program is not a part of those talks or even on the table. A senior government official telling us tonight the country plans to build on the success of its recent missile tests and says it is a nuclear power now and wants the U.S. to understand that if it feels its sovereignty or dignity were to be threatened, only then would it respond with those weapons. Meantime, I also spoke to a member of the Olympic Committee here in North Korea who says the North Korean athletes are excited about competing with athletes from the South. When I asked him about whether there are issues integrating the teams this close to the Olympics, less than 3 weeks away, he said the sense that they have a shared language and a shared heritage will go a long way. Savannah, will have more of that interview tomorrow night on Nightly News. We'll send it back to you now.
All right, Lester, thanks. And again, we will have much more of Lester's reporting from North Korea tomorrow right here on Nightly News. Back in this country, there is a major blizzard rolling through the Midwest, causing near whiteout conditions in parts of Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, and Minnesota. And as you can imagine, it is snarling travel both on the road and in the air. Highways shut down in Kansas and South Dakota, flights delayed and canceled in Denver and Minneapolis. Now to Oklahoma, where tonight there is a frantic search to find five people still missing after a massive explosion at a drilling rig. Crews digging through the smoldering wreckage, looking for any signs of life. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has late details on the accident and the desperate search.
Tonight, thick black smoke is billowing into the air near Quinton, Oklahoma, after a fiery explosion at an oil and natural gas drilling site.
We have a gas well explosion in Quinton on Bascom Road.
Now the search is on for five workers authorities say are still missing. 17 others escaped, one of them with burns, flown to the hospital.
There's numerous fire departments throughout the county that are still down there working and fighting fire and doing everything they can to secure the well.
The drilling company, Patterson-UTI, says it's cooperating with first responders at the scene. The fire is now contained, and crews are letting it burn itself out.
I can't put a time frame on it, but it's going to be a very long process.
So far, no word on what caused the blast as families wait for word about the missing. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News.
We turn now to the flu epidemic that is already three times worse than this time last year and showing no signs of letting up anytime soon. And this year, it's been deadly even for healthy people, not just the elderly or those with weak immune systems. NBC's Ann Thompson went to the front lines in this emergency, talking with doctors to find out why.
10-year-old Nico Malazzi, a fourth grader who loved hockey and the outdoors, mourned today in Connecticut, a victim of the swift and increasingly deadly flu.
Nico's a strong, vibrant, energetic kid.
An active child dying just 3 days after first feeling ill. It caught him off guard, his mother told Time magazine. You have to be aware of your child. One of a growing list of apparently healthy lives ended by this flu.
Why is it that someone who seems healthy can die so quickly from this disease?
Sometimes this year's virus seems to be very strong, and there are times when the body's own immune response is sometimes too vigorous,
creating what doctors call a cytokine storm, sending so many antibodies to attack the infection it makes you sicker, resulting in shock, sepsis, and organ failure.
It can actually tip the pendulum and actually lead the body to damage its own organs.
The Maimonides Emergency Room in Brooklyn reports a 30% spike in flu cases. Every part of the continental U.S. under siege. In New Orleans, emergency rooms at capacity. A tenfold increase in ambulance calls in Dallas because of the flu. And dramatic jumps in the numbers of deaths. Five times as many in California as compared to last year, nearly 10 times in Indiana. A deadly outbreak in which being healthy offers little immunity. The best defense, doctors say, is still the flu vaccine. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
Tonight, new fallout for USA Gymnastics. Members of its board of directors stepping down as the sentencing hearing for former team doctor Larry Nassar stretched into a fifth day. In court, more of his accusers bravely came forward to confront Nassar about the abuse they suffered at his hands. We get details now from NBC's Kevin Tibbles.
Well, for
another day of emotional, heartbreaking accounts of abuse at the hands of disgraced former USA Gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar.
Larry Nassar, I hate you.
15-year-old Emma Ann Miller told Nassar's sentencing hearing that after years of abuse, her mother is still being billed by Michigan State University.
MSU Sports Medicine charged me for those appointments. My mom is still getting billed for appointments where I was sexually assaulted.
When reached by NBC News, a spokesperson for Michigan State said former patients of Nassar, who was fired in 2016, will not be billed. Nassar, who is 54, pleaded guilty to multiple counts of child sex abuse. Part of his plea deal includes having to listen to his victims. To date, as many as 150 accusers have come forward. Krista Wakeman says she was 16 when she was abused, and she told her mother at the time.
But she didn't believe me because my sister had been going to him for years.
Some accusers have blamed organizations like MSU and USA Gymnastics for allowing Nassar to operate unchecked for so long, including Olympic gold medalist Allie Raceman, who testified last week.
But how are we to believe in change when these organizations aren't even willing to acknowledge the problem?
USA Gymnastics has said they reported Nassar soon after learning of the allegations. Today, in the wake of this scandal, three of its executives have resigned. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News.
There are new rules in the air tonight for cargo coming to the U.S. from six airlines operating in the Middle East. The TSA says while there is no specific threat, the foreign carriers operate from airports in Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the UAE, and they were chosen for extra scrutiny because of a demonstrated intent by terrorist groups to attack flights from those countries. Under the requirements, the airlines must submit more information to U.S. Customs and Border Protection about the cargo bound for the U.S. before loading and departure. A chaotic scene today during Vice President Mike Pence's critical trip to Israel. Just seconds after Mr. Pence began speaking to Israel's parliament, Arab members were forcibly dragged out. They were protesting President Trump's decision to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Afterward, Pence got big applause when he revealed plans to open that embassy sooner than expected by the end of 2019. Still ahead, no checkout lines, no wallets, no hassle. Your first look inside Amazon's newest store. Is this the supermarket of the future? Also, inspiring America to fathers, to sons, to families who share a bond. through our beloved national pastime. Stay with us. After revolutionizing the way we shop online, Amazon now has its sights on the way we shop in person. You know, that thing where you actually have to go to the store. In this case, it's the grocery store. But at this supermarket, something very noticeable is missing. NBC News business correspondent Jolene Kent got a sneak peek at what could be the future of shopping for food.
Tonight, long lines outside the store that's trying to get rid of them altogether.
Let's get ready to shop.
Inside Amazon Go, a new grocery store opening to the public for the first time today, there's no checkout or register in sight. Instead, customers use a new app to scan in and start shopping.
I might grab a salad.
Okay.
The Just Walk Out technology is tracking that these items are leaving the shelf, and it's putting them in my virtual cart. And that means, and if I put them back on the shelf, they come out of my virtual cart.
Hundreds of cameras read product labels and track your movements. Sensors installed in the shelves collect data about your preferences.
How accurate are the cameras in determining that I'm really taking that peppered steak or roasted chicken?
The system is highly accurate. On the rare occasion, if you were to find an error, we make it super easy to do a self-service return.
Customers leave without checking out, and their Amazon account is automatically charged. As for workers who may have been cashiers,
we've simply decided to allocate them to different kinds of tasks.
Amazon recently bought Whole Foods, but says there are no plans to install this technology in those stores.
If Amazon can perfect this method of checking out, I think it could send a strong signal to other grocers that they need to step up their game in providing convenience to consumers.
A race to win your wallet, even if it never leaves your pocket. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Seattle.
Coming up, the day tens of thousands have been waiting nearly 2 weeks for after those deadly mudslides. And the big announcement from the UK, the royal family now has not one, but two weddings to plan. It is a busy time to be a royal, and the social calendar just got even more packed. How about another royal engagement? This time, it's Fergie and Andrew's daughter, Princess Eugenie. The 27-year-old is set to marry her fiancé, Jack Brooksbank, the palace says. And get this, the wedding's going to be held later this year at St. George's Chapel in Windsor, which is the same place where Harry and Meghan Markle will tie the knot in May. Highway 101 has finally reopened in Santa Barbara County, and much sooner than expected, nearly 2 weeks after that deadly mudslide disaster in Southern California. Cleanup crews worked around the clock after powerful storms buried the roadway with as much as 12 feet of mud and debris. Coming up next, we're going to turn from football to baseball with the young slugger going to bat for another boy he's never met. Inspiring America is next. Finally, tonight, a story about fathers and sons and the special bond between two families who share a love of our national pastime. NBC's Katie Beck has more in tonight's Inspiring America report.
Some say there are only two seasons each year, winter and baseball. In bitter cold Rhode Island, 12-year-old Grayson Spar makes no distinction.
Well, I'm thinking about Luke, and he can't swing anymore, so I'm swinging for the both of us.
A fundraising pledge for Luke Siegel, a boy from Texas he's never met, who once loved to play too. Through snow and ice, Grayson hitting 100 balls every day for 100 days. In 2015, 9-year-old Luke was in a golf cart accident, suffered a traumatic brain injury.
It's been 2.5 years, but it feels like 2.5 days.
Luke's father, Tim, now fully devoted to his son's progress.
Every single day, he fights so hard. You can see it in his eyes.
Tim played youth tennis with Grayson's father.
That's a good one right there.
When Grayson needed a service project, Dad knew just who to call.
What happened to Luke and their family could be any of us.
Hey, buddy.
So on the 100th day, Tim flew north to toss for Grayson's bat and for Luke's recovery. In the outfield, Grayson's baseball team. Their uniforms this spring will have a number 3 on the sleeve, once Luke's.
I'll always be thinking of Luke for the rest of my life.
I'm sure you'll tell Luke about everything that happened here.
I will tell him that he has impacted and he has inspired a little boy, 12 years old, who loves baseball as much as he does.
With Luke in his heart.
Luke, I did this for you.
And his number on his sleeve.
Go Team Luke.
Katie Beck, NBC News, Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
That is nightly news for this Monday night. I'm Savannah Guthrie in for Lester. I'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning on Today. For all of us at NBC News, thanks so much for watching and have a good night.